This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, you beautiful, sexy, gorgeous creature. Out of bed. Come on, we got things to do. We got a whole year to take on. And it's only halfway through January. I know, it's insane that it's already halfway through the first month of the year, but watch, it goes, it moves. You got to keep yourself busy. The only people who complain that the year is, January's taking so long, and people got nothing to do. People who are bored.
Idle hands.
Yes, the devil. Have you got another proverb for us after?
Wow, this is the week after of great.
At least you know this one.
After shepherd's delight yesterday. What was that one again?
Just a red sky in the morning is a shepherd's warning. A red sky at night is a shepherd's delight. And I'm just referring, of course, to the weather and the fact that he can herd his flock rain-free.
Okay, you did some extra research around that?
Or no, that's what you recall. I knew that.
Leanne, my life has forever changed after hearing that.
And then what's the old wives' tale for this morning? Idle hands are the devil's work.
Ooh.
I know that one.
Of course, Ben turned mine into something salacious.
Yeah, he made it sound like the shepherd's delight was about a sheep that was caught in the fence.
Ew.
Shepherd's delight.
We just have to take all the freaks of nature as well. They're part of human society. What can we say?
Oh, there's so much to talk about today. Where should we begin? Oh, there's a lot. You know, yesterday, you always find these funny things. First of all, the 10-year challenge is on. Everybody's talking about that. People are putting up their pictures of them 10 years ago. See, if you put up your picture of you 10 years ago, you would have been, what, 13?
No, I would have. Yeah. 13.
Yeah, I don't want to see you at 13.
Exactly what I was saying to people and what I tweeted.
You probably look exactly the same as 13.
No, don't. That's like peak puberty. That's peak mess going on. Acne and puffiness, but you still have baby fat. I actually tweeted, I said, I'm not going to partake in this 10-year challenge because I don't want to become someone's meme. Because I'll forget about it 6 months' time. Someone will send a meme.
Is that bad?
Well, Gareth, you know.
Now we have to see you. Know?
Really? Ooh.
What did I find?
How exciting. Did you find a picture of you from 10 years
ago? Yeah, well, I still have the same Facebook account, so... Oh, no, it was that horrible, I didn't even save it. So...
Really? It's so bad?
I think most people will have major difficulty in putting something like that up. It's only people who've either got a good filter on their phones, because let's face it, that's what's happening here, or have had not major facial reconstructive surgery, but just... it's like Botox for prevention and preserving, rather, preservation of the youth. If you haven't had all of that type of stuff, you're not going to look better.
I think this 10-year challenge works for you if you now look better. Because you want to show, like, look at me now, you know, and you flaunt what you have. But if it's 10 years ago and was a mess, a car crash on your face... You don't want to be posting that going around.
Mine's the opposite. I looked much better 10 years ago. So for that reason, I also don't really want to put something up.
Yeah, I think you look, some people are in a hurry to do this. I've seen tons of people already putting up pictures. And I think it's, you've got to be happier. Not necessarily with the way you look, because let's face it, you know, 10 years ago, age is obviously an advantage for everybody, right? But you have to be pretty brave in respect to the fact that you are happier with the person that you are now, which I think is true for most of us, than you would be with the person you were 10 years ago. If you haven't got to a stage where psychologically, emotionally, in terms of how you see yourself in the world, even if it's got nothing to do with looks, you should be happy with yourself 10 years on. I mean, there's no reason why you should have slid backwards in respect of those things. In looks, you might have. In looks, you might not be as sexy as you think you were 10 years ago. I feel like I was worse 10 years ago in looks and everything else.
Well, that's it.
I genuinely do.
Men generally do look better as they get older, I think. Maybe it's a personal preference. But most of them are celebrities and... Like Jessica Biel's one has brought up a lot of, because they're actually looking better as they get older.
I reckon Jessica Biel looks better now than she did when she was, she must have been, well, she was 10 years younger. Who's that?
There's Fuller House star Lori Loughlin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She looks exactly the same. There's like no change.
No difference.
No, nothing.
She must have had some surgery, right?
They're also talking about her co-star, Candace Cameron Bure. She looks even better.
Candace Cameron looked horrible when she was on Full House. She looks way better now.
Yeah. Is that the blonde?
Yeah.
Would you say that Ryan Seacrest, because he put up his, do you think he looks better or worse? I think he looks better.
He claims to look better thanks to, he says, when braces and huge glasses are gone and hair products are on your side.
Yeah.
So it's more to because of the finishing touches, really. Poor Kevin Hart put up his. And he was like, it goes, FML, hate this challenge. This challenge has shown me that I simply have an old man's face. He said, I'm going to sit my old face down ass somewhere. Face ass down somewhere.
I don't think he looks terrible.
He doesn't. He's got like quite a bit of wrinkling on the forehead.
I think Kevin Hart looks like a young guy and he sounds like a young guy. And he's got a young guy's kind of attitude to things.
He also mentions, he says, why are my knuckles so damn dark? His knuckles are quite dark in the pictures.
Ashy, brother. You need to get some Vaseline.
Yeah.
You see, this also proves what we think of ourselves. I'm not trying to get all deep, but, you know, how people are explaining and describing themselves and what they've gone through really speaks to how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah. How do you feel, Sia? I mean, do you think that you... Okay, project yourself another 10 years forward. Now, this is where it gets scary.
In what way?
Project everything 10 years into the future. How do you think you're going to feel about yourself in another 10 years compared to where you are now?
Well, it's not a confidence issue with me.
No, I don't clearly think there's no problem with confidence.
And it's more, in this context, I will own, it's more of a vanity thing. That I don't... It's not that I'm unhappy with who I was 10 years ago. I just don't want those pictures out there. It looks cute on, you know, my mother's side table at home with all of our framed pictures there. Do I want every single Tom, Dick and Jabulani, you know, in 3 months from now when there's a new trend going around and they want to, you know, drag someone down and they post my picture up? Do I want that to happen? No. So I'm just being strategic. But in 10 years from now, I think I'll feel exactly how I feel today with some, you know, extra cherry and sprinkles on top. Because I'll be disgustingly ripped. Let me put that out there.
Oh, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I need to, in the, what's
body
that?
Goals of note.
See, in his 30s.
What's that movie?
Look out.
Where Ryan Gosling takes his shirt off, and I think it's Emma Stone says, oh, you look photoshopped. Yeah. I need someone to say that about me.
All right. Well, if you're feeling good about yourself 10 years on in the 10-year challenge, great. If you're not, don't worry about it.
If you're not, I mean, what you said just actually made me feel a whole lot better. Imagine where you want to be in 10 years' time. And I know I'll look better than I do now.
Yeah, I mean, people also go through ups and downs. And yeah. I mean, you've been through some serious shit lately.
Yes.
You're allowed a pass on this 10-year.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, so many people don't want to go to reunions at school. Not necessarily because they look bad or because they feel bad about themselves, but just because they don't care about those people who they once used to care about.
Or like you move you're on. In a different place completely. Yeah.
I mean, like I don't get the impression from you that you use social media to validate yourself.
I hardly use it at all.
But you're not going on there trying to find love and acceptance and validation.
No, definitely not. And at the same token, all of the people I went to school with are on there with photographs of their kids and families, and it's just like,
you're not jealous.
No,
I can guess. Well, whether or not you're feeling good about that this morning, it shouldn't be the most important thing. Didn't we play this clip? Now, I'm trying to figure out whether this is an old clip or a new one. I think it is this year.
Which one?
Angie Motshekga getting the numbers wrong. Because you know how the president can't read a number. And now this is the Minister of Basic Education. She's sitting on a stage. She's standing at the lectern. There are a bunch of kids on the stage who are all the top matric learners in the country.
Oh, no.
So these kids can absolutely read long numbers. That's you know, they've yeah. passed 12 years of school. Whether Angie did or didn't, I don't know. But she certainly can't. She's not numerate. And you know we've got the worst levels of numeracy and literacy in the continent. We keep talking about this, and it seems to be a source of absolutely no embarrassment to government. But here we are. Here's Angie talking about how many matric girls we have this year and how many matric guys we have this year. And even if it's not this year, and even if this is an old clip, it proves she can't read numbers. Now, that worries me for a number of reasons. First of all, when you're a minister of basic education and you can't read a number, that's got its own problems. But second of all, you're dealing with budgets. And mm-hmm. those budgets run into the billions. And if you can't read the difference between a billion, a million, 100,000,
and
a thousand, we have serious problems when it comes to you signing off on government expenditures, on taxpayer money. Don't pretend this isn't a big issue. I don't care who you are. You don't have to be the best matric of your year to know that this is a problem. So listen to Angie. Tell me if this isn't embarrassing.
So the overall pass rate for girls as compared to boys, more than 243,108 girls passed as compared to 2,102,717 boys passed this year.
Now...
Okay.
She got the first one right, I think.
I know she did. No, she got that one. But then she obviously just got very, very confused and read out the next number. Now, why is this so hard? We have to acknowledge there's a problem, and we have to find out what we need to do to address this problem. Why is it that our government ministers are so absolutely basic? I know that she's the Minister of Basic Education, but...
Mm-hmm. But there's not even basic there.
Can't be so basic.
Also, you know, surely she's read over this speech before. She goes on.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you wonder, did she?
Mm.
And then it's like, well, if you can't get the basics of just compiling a speech together, how are you handling a whole department?
Well, we know that she's handling it badly. We know that education in this country is in the toilet. We know that the average matric... Look, those guys and girls who are on the stage, and by the way, they were laughing at her, which is... saying something. Your Minister of Basic Education is there to congratulate these kids. How much respect do you think they have for her? And it's a mix of black, white, Indian kids, right? These are the children of the future. These are going to be our leaders of the next generation. Certainly they'll be right in the front of the queue when it comes to employment, because these are the ones with the best results.
Mm-hmm.
If they are laughing openly at a minister who can't read a number, what does that tell you about the kind of leaders that we have currently? The very low bar
doesn't provide much inspiration for kids who want to be leaders.
I find your lack of faith disturbing, as Darth Vader says, but there's no faith in this woman. The matrics are laughing at her. Matrics. 18-year-olds are laughing at an old woman who's incapable of reading a number properly. It's terrible. You can't underestimate, like, there has never been a more telling moment in South African education than to have your minister who's responsible for making sure that young South Africans get the stuff into their brains that they need so that we can be taken seriously in the world, than that moment. Do you know how countries like China are laughing at us? Do you know how do you really think they're going to come here and deal with us as equals? They're going to look at us and go, those people are a joke. Ride roughshod over them. They are inferior to us. We could do what we want with these people.
But, you know, there's something to be said about numeracy in particular. And I wonder often if it's the method that it's taught with. Remember we interviewed years ago a guy who has a completely different way of teaching maths.
He teaches maths like this pyramid block abacus system
type thing.
Right.
Also the Chinese using an abacus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... we just got it wrong from the outset with the way we approach maths and times tables.
We definitely do, because I mean I'm the last person to say that my mental arithmetic is any good.
Mine's horrid.
Oh,
I'm terrible at that. But I am numerate. Like, if you show me how to do it, I can still do long division, and I can still figure out how to add and subtract and multiply. But clearly, these are not things that, like, Angie. How does she, when the budget pitch is up in front of her? And she's got this big fat book. And remember, we spend more on education than any other thing in our budget. And look at the results we get. Shocking. And we've got people complaining. I mean, we've got UNISA on strike at the moment. We spoke about this in the news yesterday because they want more people to be admitted to university. But why, when we can't add and subtract? I mean, what are they going to be studying? Humanities?
Arts.
We don't need arts students. We don't need humanities students, political science students. We need engineers, doctors, scientists, information technologists, people who
education can, ministers.
Yeah. And how many of those are we putting through our system?
Sometimes I just feel like politicians also don't care hide how badly they're performing.
There's not even embarrassment. Like, if that was me, I'm the Minister of Basic Education, I cannot get a number right while the best matrics of the year are sitting behind me. You know what? I'm resigning. I'm getting the hell out of it. That's too embarrassing. I would not be able to handle that. I would not be able to get through the rest of my job. She's not embarrassed.
Because all you had to do was just request that all of the numbers be written out in words.
Right.
That's all you had to do.
Just in case, because you know it's a weakness. You know you're not good at numbers. Like, that was what the previous president was always bad at.
And in fact, it's a journalism thing that there's certain numbers that you do write out in full.
Anyway, look.
If they're to be read out loud.
I had to play that for you because I actually couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, no, not again. This is too dumb for words. Anyway, we're not going to spend the whole morning on that, but there are lots of other things that I do want to talk about. We didn't get into Nomuzi Mabena yesterday. This is a big story because she faked an accident on her Instagram Live. Apparently it was a big part of a campaign from VW. They were the ones who financed this whole thing. Now, I have to say, I don't know which agency it is that's responsible for this. I don't know whether it's VW's idea themselves, because you can never tell. But this is very bad. It's bad because you cry wolf. Now, and remember, this is a celebrity, supposedly. I mean, I don't know Nomuzi very well. We've interviewed her once or twice. She seems like a very sweet, lovely person. She's an, in inverted commas, influencer on social media, which is all the dumb marketing people in dumb companies want anymore because they don't understand how to make an impact. So what they do is they contrive these ideas, which can have a really bad influence, first of all, on society at large, because now you get people who aren't as important as Nomuzi but might look up to her doing copycat stuff. Mark my words, there's going to be...
Do you really think so?
I think there's going to be ugly... No, there will. There'll be an ugly incident of someone who goes, well, Nomuzi did that and it was fake and she got a lot of attention for it. And she's my hero. Let me do it for real. You will. You'll end up people putting themselves in danger. I mean, they might not have a car accident on purpose, but they'll be filming themselves on Instagram Live going, whatever happens, I'll be famous. Because remember, people, there are a lot of young people in this world who just want attention for whatever reason.
Remember the guy in China who sold his kidney just to impress his friends that he had an iPhone?
That's right. That was just in yesterday's news. So these things happen. And especially in a country where we've already established people are not that bright when it comes to like avoiding danger and doing stupid things. We know that. If you're a big fan of someone like Nomuzi Mabena, you might think, well, if she does this, then maybe I should do it too. Maybe I should just up the ante a little bit. Someone will be impressed with me and then I'll be an influencer. Because that's what some people, young people especially, are starting to think is the way for them to earn a living. Especially in a desperate situation. Let's say you don't have a university degree or you don't have any prospects for a job. You're one of those millions of South Africans, young South Africans, who doesn't know whether or not you're going to be employed. You're going to make money or not. Maybe this is an option for you.
And people think it's the easy way out. I subscribe to a lot of YouTube channels run by individuals. And it's a lot more than just talent. It's hard work. They now usually, when they reach sort of 1 million followers and up, where they've got their YouTube plaques, they use people to edit for them because they don't have the time anymore. It's not just but about sitting in front of the camera
pressure,
trying on makeup.
The pressure to keep up there, to be an influencer, to keep on influencing young people. It's dangerous. This is a dangerous thing because it's never enough. I mean, if you have 1 million subscribers on your YouTube channel, then you need 2, then you need 4, then you need 8, then you need 16. And so it keeps going. Because
there'll always be another list.
So you've got to keep doing more and more outrageous things and selling your soul. And I'm telling you, this is a recipe for a disaster. And for a big brand to dive into something like this, you are taking a massive risk, and I don't know that it's always going to pay off for you.
You know, I believe, yes, it was definitely a big risk, and I still stand by what we were discussing on Friday and what I particularly said by saying if it was a campaign, because we weren't sure at that point, and I still do think it's a great campaign on paper.
We called it. We said it was fake.
It's a great campaign on paper. It was just the execution that was slightly off.
Well, here's the problem.
It was the timing for me.
Here's the problem.
I think we shouldn't have gone to sleep without knowing.
I'll guarantee you someone in a meeting used the word authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me remind you, authentic means the opposite of fake.
Mm-hmm.
It means real. Authentic is not staging a car accident. And it's part of this hashtag VW Drive Dry campaign. But as far as I'm concerned, the danger here isn't so much that she was pretending to be drunk. Again, pretending, so it's not authentic. But it was that she was filming it. It is probably more dangerous to be busy on your cell phone while you're driving than it is to be drunk and driving. I don't know what the statistics are, but I don't think either is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not addressing that. Someone's going to be filming themselves driving. I've seen people on Instagram. They film themselves while they're doing other things. Dangerous things. That's probably as bad as drunk.
And that's why I have to be on the other side and say, in terms of a campaign and raising awareness,
you think it's doing a good thing?
It did hit the nail on the head.
Well, I mean, that's a point of view that's valid. Let's listen to what she said. Here's why she did it.
Namuzi, why was it important for you to take part in this?
I think for me, I've been personally affected by this issue, not only once, but a number of times. And I think there are so many other people that really have felt that way. So it was very important for me, not only as a public figure, but as a friend, as a daughter, and somebody who's connected to a human network to do something that can truly impact our lives. I know that I go to performances all the time. I'm not really concerned about how people are getting home. I'm not really concerned about what message people are getting from the things that I'm posting. So for me, it was just very important. Change the narrative.
Do you understand why people are upset with you?
I completely understand why people are upset, but they are surprised and we are not.
By the way, they flashed on the screen at this point a message from Terry Petto, who's of course one of my well-known actresses. She says, in 2010 I lost 5 family members in a car crash. I don't find this funny. Maybe I'm just triggered. We lose a ton of people on the roads in South Africa. You are dealing with very sensitive territory here. The fact that it's made up.
You know, it would almost be like, if you think about it along the lines of her doing something faking cancer or
mm-hmm.
Do you know there's this line where it's just not cool.
So I think as well what makes a lot of people uncomfortable with this is that there's a money element to it.
Yeah.
Like no one's getting paid or there's a brand behind it. But if we had if it was real and the brand climbed onto it afterwards saying, oh, by the way, Drive Dry, we would have said that the brand was insensitive. Yeah, so I think they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
I don't think there's a win here. And that's why I think this risk probably won't pay off in the long run. I think it's upsetting more people than it's making aware.
Mm.
I mean, people know that it's not like we have an awareness problem. That's not the issue here. People already know. There are tons and tons of available information sources. There is a general awareness that driving drunk is dumb. I don't think anyone, even people who do drive drunk, realize that's not okay, or think that in some way that, you know, it's okay to drive drunk.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have to go as far as thinking; your actions will be punished.
Yeah, you get that. I don't think what's bothering people here is that you would fake something that can be so traumatic. I mean, I didn't want to watch the video. I've been in accidents. I've heard the sound. If you've been in an accident, and chances are if you live in South Africa, you have been in an accident because we have such high statistics of car accidents. You've heard that sound. You've smelt that smell. You've seen the dust and felt what it's like and tasted the dry blood. And let me tell you something. It's not a pleasant experience. You don't have to fake that.
Even the silvery powder that comes out of the airbags, which completely dusts your car.
Yeah, I can still smell
it's
that.
It's very
too.
Tangible.
Yeah. So I get it. And you know what? Let's not blame Nomuzi on this one, because she was just the paid influencer. But I don't know that this was well thought through. That's all I'm going to say about it. But as we called it, fake.
Mm-hmm.
You said it sounded like there was an edit somewhere in there. I mean, I just imagine a bunch of people on a set, like congratulating themselves. Yeah, that's real. People are going to love this. I mean, no one's going to love it. It's ugly. You know, a director and a... There's enough, thanks to social media, there's enough to get really up. I mean, we live in a country where there's plenty of violence and ugliness and death and destruction and accidents, and we don't need to fake any of this stuff. There's probably real footage that's just as harrowing, but more so when you find out that it isn't fake.
Do you guys...
Something we don't like about being lied to is what I'm getting.
Do you remember that Arrive Alive campaign? It was a few years ago where the organization staged wrecked cars on the sides of the road.
I remember that.
And how that also got people going. So, if you know, they pretend like there was an accident and they just left a car on the side.
So that people driving past would see
Yes,
them.
And then after a kilometer or something, there'd be an Arrive Alive sign saying you don't want to be that person.
Oh, that's horrible.
Sometimes you just have to shock people, I guess.
Maybe, huh?
I really don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can only guess at whether or not this will work. It certainly has got attention, but attention on its own isn't necessarily valuable. All right, let's look at
some
stories.
Well, as the judge of the PR Awards, I'm looking forward to this year's discussion with all of the judges. Thank you.
Are you judging again?
Yes, thank you.
Look at you.
Was the youngest judge of all time, but you know, age is not on my side anymore. So.
No, now you're going to be the second youngest judge.
Yeah. I don't know.
And from there, it just gets worse. The 10-year challenge is just around the corner.
10-year challenge reminded us.
Some news stories today that you need to know about. Let's get into a few of these. Civil organizations have opposed Eskom's request for an electricity price hike. First of all, I saw Pagamani Hadebe, who's the Eskom CEO, on TV last night. He looks like a cartoon character. I mean, he looks strange, right? He almost... Like, he's got these big eyes and he's got this very strange shape of face and head. Doesn't look like it's a real person. Looks like a cartoon. And he looks young. He looks way too young to be in charge of Eskom.
Oh, I see.
Do you see what I mean? Like, there's something about the way he looks.
I think it's the ratio.
I don't know.
Forehead to tiny eye to small nose, but big. Never mind, we're being horrible.
We are being horrible, but he looks like a Muppet.
Looks a little bit like Euphonic.
So anyway, civil society organizations have said that Eskom's request for a double-digit tariff increase is ridiculous. It's already placing a heavy burden on consumers with the current prices, and they cannot be expected to bail out the utility time and time again. Let's remember Eskom, and if you want to hear the incredibly detailed conversation I had with Ted Blom the other day, he's an expert. He's the one who's been watching Eskom for the longest time. He's been inside the organization. He's been outside the organization looking in. You can see, if you listen to that podcast, where the problem lies. It's not because people in this country have been paying too little for electricity. It's because it has been run into the ground by the most incompetent people imaginable. Eskom has been destroyed by absolutely derelict management. And now we're required to bail it out? Hell no. So yesterday, Pagamani Hadebe, who's the CEO, told the National Energy Regulator that even if a 15% annual increase for 3 years is granted, it would still not be enough to get it out of the debt trap that it's in. So shut it down. Let private companies come in, buy up whatever they want from Eskom, and start providing us with private electricity. Government and all the people that government have appointed here, ANC people that have been appointed here, are wholly incapable and incompetent at running Eskom. Boom. Nothing else to be said about it. We need a different system. Eskom is not going to get us right. We need to find a new way of providing energy to South Africa.
Yeah, it just seems to be getting worse and worse.
And in the interim, we've got to clean this place out. And that includes, I'm afraid, Pagamani Hadebe and the kind of people like him that have been appointed by politicians to run our national energy provider. It's not going to work. Debt levels are coming continuing to soar. They now stand at 419 billion rand. If there is a downgrade, it will be because of Eskom. And for this guy to even stand up and attempt to explain him and his predecessors and their inability to run the place properly is insulting to every South African. UNISA registration processes are running smoothly after the protests. Remember yesterday we discussed this in the news. The process was halted last week when protests broke out across the country. Student leaders made a number of demands, including laptops and meal cards. We thought yesterday was bad, that they wanted more students let through and cheaper fees. Well, they also wanted laptops and meal cards. What would you like? Your whole life to be paid for by someone else? At what point does this become about you and personal responsibility? And if you don't have the resources, maybe saying, well, I've got to go and earn some money. I've got to go do a job so I can pay for this myself.
Or just I can't go. I mean, yeah, maybe, I remember being younger and some of my friends just couldn't go to university, and that was that. They had to go and get jobs or go to tech, do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Process is continuing. While some of these demands have not been finalized, university management and the Student Representative Council reached an agreement on Sunday allowing for campuses to reopen. I can confirm, said Martin Ramocella from UNISA, that the security that we have upgraded during the strike period for now remains as it is. We'll make the call on the second or third day whether we need to decrease the security. But it seems everything is going okay there. You know, I want a laptop that I don't have to pay for. I want my meals paid for every day.
Yeah, I think that's fair too.
And I am a responsible tax-paying citizen. I'm not a burden on the state. I'm actually putting money in. So I think my demands should be met before students who are a drain on resources. Yeah. How about that?
It's exactly how it works.
Let's all start demanding.
Yeah, we could all just do that.
The Democratic Alliance says it will be writing to the eThekwini municipality in a bid to bar it from funding former President Jacob Zuma's upcoming album.
Oh, please, 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 please. Sign me up. I'll help. Let's make this.
You don't want his album to come out?
But it'll provide such fantastic fodder.
I heard it's in the millions. That is what it's going to cost people.
Sure, it'll cost people. It's not going to cost him.
No, not at all.
The former president's going to pay a single cent towards this. He's never paid for a thing in his life.
Does he just sit and go, how else can I carry on screwing people over and taking money?
He is like these UNISA students who want their meals and their laptops for free. He thinks someone else is there to pay for him. He thinks he's a child and someone else is going to be the mom and the dad and step in and pay for him.
But he could have just faded into the background.
No.
And now, President of the Republic wasn't enough. Chart-topping artist is now his latest ambition.
Meanwhile, a Sunday Times report says Grammy Award-winning group Ladysmith Black Mambazo has no knowledge of a plan to join forces with Zuma on his upcoming album. This is in contrast to an announcement made by the eThekwini Department of Arts and Culture. Why does a city need a Department of Arts and Culture, a whole department? Shall you just have a member of the executive council there who can see to that? A whole department for arts and culture in Durban? Really? Durban's got bigger problems than trying to fund arts and culture, especially when it comes to funding an amateur artist like the president.
Well, it's definitely more than a one-person job.
Department of Arts and Culture for eThekwini. We don't even have a national department that do anything. Are you kidding? Anyway, all right. It's interesting. The communications minister, Stellan Dabeni-Abrams, has joined the heated saga between mobile network Vodacom and its former employee Nkosana Makate. He is the guy who invented Please Call Me, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the saga hit headlines when Makate denied claims by Vodacom that he'd been paid a settlement as well as a court ordered by a court ruling. Remember, the court decided that this was done. So why are Vodacom not paying him? They've been ordered by a court to do this.
Yeah. It's dragging on a bit now.
Vodacom, I don't know where your leadership is, but Vodacom are not listening to the law. They make their own rules. They're so big, they're so full of themselves now, they're making their own rules up. And they're making no friends. I'm with Stellan Dabeni-Abrams and Panyaza Lesufi, who said, we need to stand by Nkosana. Please call me Makate. against this bully called Vodacom. Pay him by month end or face the wrath of the nation. How dare you disrespect our courts? Yeah, forget about the social justice aspects of this. If the court has ordered something, it must be done. Otherwise, Vodacom should be stopped from trading. It's the rule of the land. Pay this guy what he deserves. You've been trying to screw him over solidly for how many years now? It's over 10, 12 years, something like that. Shamil Jusup, who's the CEO of Vodacom, has met with legal representatives to convey his decision and determination as directed by the Constitutional Court order. What could be more important than settling this at the moment? Oh, that's right. Kowtowing to the EFF when they threaten to damage your stores. Vodacom are directionless at the moment. They need leaders with backbones. And I'm not the only one saying it anymore.
Yo, I would explore if you can sue some more. Just, you're here, you might as well. If they're screwing you over again.
Get some more out of them.
Yeah.
And then finally, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, said on Monday he never worked for Russia. His first direct denial after a media report that the FBI in 2017 investigated whether he acted against U.S. interests. Trump also took issue with the Washington Post report that he had concealed details about his meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin and confiscated his interpreter's notes. Congressional Democrats raised the possibility of subpoenaing the translator.
I heard differently. I heard that the question was, Mr. Trump, do you work for the Russians or something along those lines? And he just said, how dare you ask me that? But he never actually said no.
He says, not only, this is in quotes, not only did I never work for Russia,
okay,
I think it's a disgrace that you even asked that question because it's a whole big fat hoax, Trump told reporters as he left the White House for a trip to Louisiana. Well, if he did, we need to see some evidence because we're hearing a lot of people saying, oh, the president is in collusion with Russia. We've been hearing this for months.
Mm.
And there's still no evidence. Now, if the investigation, the Mueller investigation that's going on, uncovers anything, we'll get to that. In the meantime, to insinuate that the guy, the president of the United States, is in cahoots with Russia, if you don't have any evidence, is just as irresponsible as the president saying, I'm not, when he knows full well that he is. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Both are as bad as each other at this point because there's no evidence. So let's stop throwing things around until we know for sure. And the Mueller probe is going ahead. And if there is anything to it, it better come out. We know for a fact that they've been talking to innumerable witnesses. They've been gathering documentary evidence. And we'll see whether anything comes of it. But at the moment, to say that you have a suspicion is like me saying if your aunt had had balls, she would have been your uncle. All right, let's get on with it. We've got lots of other good things to talk about this morning. And you like that, Sia?
Sia likes this.
Thank you. That's Bitcoin. Is quite apt.
Bitcoin has dropped to $3,709, but Ethereum is up $130.
Go Ethereum.
Yeah, go Ethereum. Jesus. Don't we all want that to happen? Let's get into Said by Sia for this morning and see what Sia has for us in terms of some inspiration, some stories that will make the day a little bit easier to bear for those people who've started your day on the wrong side of the bed. Sia, take it away.
We know how sports crazy Americans can be. So imagine not only just saving someone's life, but saving a superstar sports player's life. Yeah, well, you kind of become the hero of the month. Mm. And that's exactly what a man in Kansas City is right now. His name is Dave Cochran, and he helped a sports player out of the snow just in time for him to make his game in a couple of hours. So this all happened last week, Saturday. And the sports player's name is Jeff Allen, and he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. And just ahead of his game on Saturday, he was on the way to the venue, but got stuck in a bit of snow. And there comes the savior of the day, Dave Cochran, who actually had seen three cars already stuck in snow. And he thought, oh, you know what? I'm not rushing anywhere. Why don't I help these people out? So armed with just himself and his girlfriend, they left their dog in the car and they started helping these three random cars pull out of the snow. And one of the drivers ended up being offensive linesman. In the absence of Ben, I don't know what an offensive linesman is, but sure, let's go with the story. Offensive linesman, Jeff Allen, who was actually able to make it to the arena in time. And from that, actually, Dave didn't want anything. He just drove off, didn't even know who the player Jeff Allen was. But it was when Jeff Allen took onto Twitter to try and find Dave, did he understand, oh, shucks, okay, may have helped someone else out who was possibly famous. So Jeff took to Twitter and said, look, my car got stuck in the snow before the game and a nice guy named Dave helped me pull out without knowing I was a player. I wanted to give him tickets to the AFC Championship game for helping, but don't have a way to contact him. He drove a 97 or 98 Black Suburban. Please RT. And people did. More than 43,000 people retweeted his tweet. And an update, Jeff was able to actually find Dave after everything. And Jeff also tweeted saying, despite the recent influx and people changing their name to Dave in the area, LOL, I was actually able to track down the real Dave that helped me thanks to the power of social media and hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. So it was actually cool. After even being spotted and now Dave has had to do interviews that he didn't want to do, he says, it wasn't about that. I wasn't doing it for the fame. I wasn't doing it to be found. I just saw people who were stuck in snow and I was able to help and that's all that mattered to me. So see,
So that worked out well for him. But I'm thinking it reminds me of the story from last year, just at the end of last year, where Steve Carell was knocked over by someone. Mm-hmm. So instead of this person helping him, he was harming him. But the surprise on this person's face when they realized it was Steve Carell that they'd knocked over.
Oh, jeez. You are not really surprised. You're probably panicking galore.
He's like, oh my God, it's you.
But this story actually reminded me of what was happening this morning. You know, in Joburg, there was that massive thunderstorm last night.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yesterday afternoon.
Hectic.
Really was crazy around my part of the world
as well.
Yeah, there
was a tree that fell down in my road.
Mm.
I had to cut it down and chop it down
in my lounge. It was so bad.
There was that one bang.
Yes, there was one.
I repented my sins. I was like, Jesus, I know I don't talk to you all the time. But look, this is not how I should die. But as I was driving this morning, I saw someone and wasn't like a worker because they weren't in any sort of uniform. It was clear that it was just someone in the neighborhood because they were decked out in running gear who was actually sweeping branches off the road. Mm. And I thought, what a nice thing to do.
Sure.
Like how thoughtful as well. He just realized that all of this is blocking the road and he was out on his morning jog, I presume, and he
saw
all of the mess and he thought, ugh. Well, why don't I? Before people start driving to work and they're stuck in this traffic. Yeah. He did his own little bit. I actually thought, that was nice. Yeah.
I also drove past a group of joggers this morning.
Oh, okay.
A group.
A joggery of joggers.
Yeah, and I moved over completely into the oncoming traffic, which, of course, there wasn't any at that time of the morning. And they all thanked me. And I thought, well, that was quite nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Usually it's your first inclination is to say, oh, they think they own the road.
Yes.
But when they're nice to you, you can't. I immediately thought, oh, what a nice bunch of guys.
Isn't it amazing how when you're nice to people, they're nice to you?
Yeah.
So it starts with you. If you're going to, you know, immediately assume that people are cross with you and that everybody's there to get angry with each other, and then guess what kind of a day you're going to have?
Mm-hmm.
Angry kind of day. All right. Dips says, VW's pushing the wrong issue with that Nomuzi campaign. The campaign should be about using your phone while driving because that's something there's generally less awareness about and also something that drives me mad. Drive dry is not the issue. I support what they did. Ads don't work. As soon as you see a disclaimer, you switch off. And then Grant and Nelspreit says, talking about the free higher education government promised, my wife works for a major transport company and their majority shareholders are black, but this year to get their BEE status to what it needs to be, they have to give bursaries to university students. So you have to keep on working. You see, they just keep moving you're a BEE company, you're a black owned company, you're black empowered, and then what do? They introduce even more.
The yardstick keeps
This is
changing.
What government do. They keep on moving the goalposts so that you have to keep on complying so that they can get more of your money. I mean, it's just theft. It's just government-sanctioned theft. That's what it is. I'm drunk on all my Facebook photos from 10 years ago. Even though I aged like a fine red wine, I'm not too keen on revisiting 2008. That's okay. From Sean.
No, I'm identifying with this.
So Sean says this 10-year challenge is nonsense.
So, okay, that poses a good thought. If I was in grade 7 in 2008, what were you guys doing in 2008? Well, both of you were working, but what in particular was going on?
I don't know. I mean, nothing.
I can't remember.
Oh, gee, guys.
I really can't.
Wait, when did High School Musical come out?
No LinkedIn. I don't want to do a quick verification.
Okay, no, both of you were at 5 by that time.
Yeah, I was doing TV and radio. And
was Carl around?
No. My dog turned 8 3 days ago.
Oh my gosh. Can't believe he's 8. Can't believe it. Yeah.
He was a puppy just yesterday. No, I don't know. I mean, it was 2008. That whole...
I know what I was
from
doing.
2006 to about 2012 was more or less the same kinds of things. I was doing a lot of interesting stuff too, but it was mostly radio, television, loads of gigs as a DJ. I was traveling a little bit. No, it was good. I was having a good time in 2008, but I don't want to go back. You said you know?
Yeah, I was just having a lot of fun being single. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun?
Yeah, Leanne had her own spot at the bar with a brass plaque on it with her name.
Yeah, the word village bicycle springs to mind.
Oh. And that's why Dion, you don't want to go back.
Dion wants to know, what's the charcoal challenge? Does anybody know about that?
I saw a video of it, and then people were climbing into the comments of what it's about. But the one particular video I saw was a South African video of like 4 guys, and some song starts playing in the background, and they each guy has a bag of charcoal in front of them, and they throw the charcoal on their face. I don't get it.
People is bored.
Really, really. I mean, charcoal of all things, and it's chunky and hurts you, and then you have to clean it up. That's just silly.
Mash says, morning, guys. Just wanted to say what's up. Good to hear all of you. First day back at work after 2 weeks in Brazil.
From the beaches,
from the beaches of Rio to Santa and traffic. Life couldn't be better. I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not, but I imagine both have their advantages. Plus, I can feel traffic's getting back to normal. It's slowly starting to
definitely
get back to where it was before. All right, so what we'll do is... by the way, I've got really good news. From hopefully tomorrow, if we can get it all sorted out, I'm going to be taking calls live, and I'll have the controls right in front of me. Just like the old days.
Got a promotion.
There's no one to answer your calls for you. I'll be taking them directly, you know, the way that it should be. I mean, what are we worried about? The only reason I like to screen calls occasionally is because there might be someone who just takes us off topic, but that's okay. So I thought about it and thought, well, why aren't I just answering the calls directly in the studio? Why do we need someone else to take your calls? It's far more efficient if I just do it.
Mm.
So starting from probably tomorrow, we'll just take your calls live. Whatever you want to say. However you want to say it.
Very good.
Yes. Yes, I'm very excited
about
that.
Why does the Journey song come to my head? Any way you want it. That's the way you need it.
That's
whatever
a good
you
song.
Want to say.
That is a good song. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so let's get cracking. Your day's about to start. We are here to keep you company. CliffCentral.com, 5 minutes to 7.
This is CliffCentral.com.